We see the greatness of God, most of all in the gift of his son, Jesus. We saw his greatness turning water into wine, opening the eyes of the blind. We saw his greatness in his teaching with authority, with his love and his compassion, with his friendship. But most of all, do we not see the greatness of God in Jesus through his willingness to walk the way of the cross? And in Lent, we look again especially to the cross and think about its meaning. It's such a familiar symbol to us, isn't it, as we look at the cross. We see it everywhere. We see it in a number of places here in our own church. And sometimes we can become over familiar with the cross. So it's good to remember just what it's all about. How the cross is a scandal, a symbol of crucifixion, a symbol of death. It's a scandal and an offence. And we're building objects around the cross to remind us of what Jesus went through. The bag of money reminds us how Jesus was betrayed by Judas, one of his friends. The towel and the bowl remind us of the scandal that Jesus, the creator of the world, the king of the universe, should kneel and wash his disciples' feet in loving service, calling us to do the same. And as we've heard today, the cup reminds us of the great trial and strain that was upon Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He drank from the cup of suffering. And to all, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Take up. We take up lots of things in our lifetime. And Joe and I are going to share a short dialogue to help us think about these things and the message of Jesus.
Take up.
Take up what?
Take up dancing.
Take up travel.
Take up your cross.
Take up what?
Take up residence.
Take up those share options.
Take up exercise.
Take up a musical instrument.
Take up a hobby.
Take up your trousers.
Take up your cross.
Take up what?
Take up room.
Take up takeaways.
Take up that job promotion.
Take up time.
Take up the carpet.
Take up the slack.
Take up your cross.
Take up what?
Take up retirement.
Take up where you left off.
Take up the story.
Take up the offer.
Take up the offering.
Take up your position.
Take up your cross.
Take up what?
Take up a challenge.
Take up the cause.
Take up what Jesus told you.
Take up your cross. Take you up on that. Let's pray. Holy God, in this season of repentance, draw all people to yourself by your cross, that we who confess Jesus as Lord may put aside the deeds of death and accept the life of your kingdom. Amen. I wonder how you are walking this morning, staying upright in this weather. Thankful for that. A very elderly, infirm patient once went to see their doctor. The doctor looked them up and down and said with an air of resignation, "Remember the 25 extra years that you've had by clean, healthy living. Well, these are them," he says. Abraham and Sarah, despite their great age, were still being asked to walk by God and to walk with him. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, we read, "When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless.'" God was saying, do what is right. Live in a way that pleases me. Keep up the clean, healthy living. Walk habitually before me. This is translated literally as, walk before my face. Walk before my face, before my presence. And this is a central message for each one of us in this season of Lent. We journey before the face of God. And what do you see on the face of God? How is God looking at you? Well, I want to tell you the truth. It is the smiling face of God who looks on you with love and with compassion. He smiles on us, his precious children. We are loved. We are forgiven. That's the picture of the face of God we must have. Walking with God captures what it means to live a godly life. Walking with God is a phrase that crops up a number of times in the Bible. To Abraham and Sarah, God says, walk before me. The Old Testament prophet Micah pleaded, walk humbly with your God. And in the New Testament, Paul uses similar language when he urges the Galatians, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So it doesn't matter how we come to church this morning, whatever age we are, however old or young, whether we need a baby walker or a walking stick, and all points in between, whether we are housebound or even bedbound, in the journey of life from cradle to grave, in our hearts at least, if not physically, we are to walk with God, to walk before the face of God. Step by step, little by little, uphill, downhill, even over the hill, we are to walk with God, stage by stage, as he reveals it to us. And as we heard the call there, to walk blamelessly, that's a very big ask, isn't it, when we think about our lives. We know we've made mistakes. We know we can't change the past. But the past has changed because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And he's taken away the power of the past and its hold over us. He's taken that power upon himself. And he has forgiven us. He has written off the debt, settled the old account. And yet we know we are prone to wander. We miss our way. We forget to seek God's face and his favor. We forget the promises we've made. We forget the promises God made. And with Abraham, sometimes we take things into our own hands and impatiently try to shape our own future and manipulate God's promises, forgetting that the blessings of God are always his gift and not of our own making. Sometimes we settle for an Ishmael when God has for us an Isaac. But the truth is, we are not blameless. We are not innocent. On the contrary, we are responsible for our own sin. With Abraham, we need to hear the call to obedience time and again. And when we acknowledge our guilt and our pain, God forgives us. He calls us back to himself. He fills us with faith and trust and beckons us to walk before him the next stage. Such is his great love. Such is his great heart. So if day by day, hour by hour, we consciously walk before the face of God, making wise choices, then we are nearer to God, and God is nearer to us. United to God, we shall then be close to the heart of God. We shall love the same things our Father God loves. We will be hurt by the same pain that our Father God feels. We will see with God's eyes, and we will respond with God's heart. So we hear today those words to Sarah and Abraham in this season of Lent. Walk before me. But walk before me is only half the story of our Bible readings. The other half is this. To the disciple Peter, and to us and every disciple, Jesus says, get behind me. Get behind me. This is both our greatest hope and our greatest decision. It's our greatest hope because Jesus is God made flesh. Love on legs. In Jesus, we truly know that God has come down to street level to walk in our shoes, to be our brother, to be our friend, to talk with us and teach us about God, to share our lives and carry our burdens. We have great hope because as we get behind Jesus and follow him, we know that we are not called upon to face any temptation or trial that Jesus did not first endure himself. We can walk behind him. We follow where he has led. It's our greatest hope to do that. And also, it's our greatest decision. Jesus directed his disciples by pointing out this narrow road that lay ahead for him, that he must take in obedience to his Father's will. And so Jesus was saying to his disciples, if you want to stay with me, then you've got to walk with me. And it's amazing to see how, isn't it, through his life, the crowds that followed him first began to get less and less and less. Until in Holy Week, he was even deserted by his own friends. And he went to the cross on his own. Jesus was saying, you can only follow me if you get behind me and follow this pattern of suffering love. And it goes against everything that our human nature holds dear. Self-preservation. Self-advancement. But as we heard, Jesus called the crowd with his disciples. So it was a message for everyone and said, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. It's an unattractive message then and now. Effectively, Jesus is saying, come and die. Come and die. We might think that some of the world's terrorists have the same motto that drives them, come and die. But whereas their twisted ideology brings death and destruction, the invitation of Christ in time, in its fullness, brings new life and a new creation. The cross is part of the story, but it's not the end of the story. So Jesus is doing some serious truth-telling here about what life is all about. Those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. What will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Of course, there are other paths we could decide to follow, broad paths that diverge away from the cross. Let me name some briefly. Some follow the broad path of self-service. Christ leads the way of self-denial. Self-denial is about discovering a new identity. For some, it means even getting a new name. Abram becomes Abraham. Sarai becomes Sarah. Simon becomes Peter. In our thinking today, selfhood is about that total sum, total of all that I am, my experiences, my personal identity. But in Jesus' day, selfhood had a more corporate definition. You were defined in Jesus' day by your family, your trade, your associations. So when Jesus says to deny self, we know that it's more than just choosing to give up something for Lent or taking up something for Lent, good as that might be, and good a discipline it might be. This is far more radical. Jesus is offering a new identity. He's saying, come and follow me and separate yourselves from the things and the people that purport to define you and make you who you are. And when we follow Jesus in the way of the cross, we find a new belonging, a new community, a new family in the household of faith, new values, new vision. We have a new identity as cross bearers. We lose our lives to find them in the end, to find life in all its fullness. What other pathways are there? Well, there is the broad path which seeks wealth and prosperity. And this has tempted a few Christians and a few churches. There is the story of the American pastor who was giving another minister a tour of his church and how grand it looked. Beautiful decorations, thick carpets, amazing chandeliers. And as it was getting dark, they went outside and the pastor pointed to the large cross on the church steeple, lit up. And he proudly said, "That cross alone cost $10,000. And the other minister said to him, "You were robbed. You were robbed. Times were when Christians could get them for free." The cross is more than decoration, more than an ornament. It defines us. Christ shows that we are not to store up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Ours is the gospel of renunciation and relinquishment, letting it all go. If we are blessed, like Abraham, like Israel, it's that we might be a blessing to others, to the poor. Another broad path is one that seeks to avoid suffering in search of comfort. That is the message of advertising today, to make our lives easier, to cushion us away from the difficult things in life. But Christ has shown us that we need not fear, that embracing pain can bring growth and life. As our humble King, he wore his thorns like a crown. And likewise, he helps us to bear our sorrows with patience and with dignity. And it won't be forever. It won't be forever. Easter affirms it. The cross and the crown of thorns is followed by resurrection life and the crown of glory. Some seek to save their life at all costs, but Christ shows us how to give it away for the gospel of good news. Martin Luther warned that a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. Which path are you walking down today? Which path do you want to walk on? Who are you following? Are you behind Christ? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Will you decide again today? This Lent, let us affirm our desire to get behind Christ, deny ourselves, walk his narrow way of love, take up our cross daily, and follow him into new life. May we pray to Jesus in the words of the old hymn, "O let me see thy footmarks, and in them plant my own. My hope to follow duly is in thy strength alone. O guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end, and then in heaven receive me, my master and my friend. As I close this morning, from God's word, we have heard the call of God to Abraham and to Sarah and to us. Walk before me. To the disciple Peter and to us, get behind me. God will give us the courage to do the same. Amen. Let us pray as we reflect on the cross of Christ and the words of Jesus. My words could not tell, not even in part, the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. Amen.